Good evening. Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Saints of God. This is Pastor John Jones, pastor of Christ Miracle Baptist Church over here in Lancaster, Virginia. Glad to be on with you on this afternoon. I want to talk to you a little bit about my conversion. I got baptized when I was 13 years old, and at the age of 17 years old, I strayed from the Lord. I went in the military. I said I was a man. And as I went into the military, I found that I needed God in my life. And so what I did every now and then when I needed them, I would call on him. But then after getting out of the military, I continued to drink. I continued to drug. And I continued to run women. But through all of that, I found out that in 1996 that I needed God in my life again. So I went to the church and I told my pastor that I needed to rejoin the church again. I told him I didn't need to be baptized but I needed to be baptized in the word. And so I got in church, and after getting in church and all, the word of God came live in my heart. And after God's word came live in my heart, then I began to speak God's word. I began to speak to lost souls, and I began to talk to them about getting saved. And from time to time, many did take my advice, and many did come in to get saved. But, you know, there was always a remedy still left out. And so what I did, I continued to serve the Lord. And as I continued to serve the Lord, I became a usher. And after coming an usher at the front doors, I would meet and greet as one would come in on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday evenings. And as they would come in, I meet and greet and all, and I stayed an usher for about a year and a half. And after that, I became a trustee after giving my life to Christ. I became a trustee in the church, and I served the church. Amen, praise God. I served the church as a trustee for about 4 years. And after serving the church for about 4 years, then I became a deacon of the church. And as I became a deacon of the church, I realized that I needed to get my family in the church. So I compelled my children to get into the church. And as they got into the church, then we all served at the same church. As I would go from time to time on Sunday mornings, I would continue to tell people about my conversion. I would continue to let them know that I was a hellraiser one time and that God changed my life. I continued to share with them that, you know, I used to be on rock cocaine, and I would take the cocaine and I would try to serve it to women and things of that nature for sexual activity. And so I come in one Sunday afternoon, and as I came in one Sunday afternoon, the Lord met me. He met me in my house in the kitchen, and he began to speak to me and talk to me about it. And he called me by name, and I could hear him loud and clear. He said, "John, what in the world is you doing?" And I fell down on my knees. I started weeping and crying, and I began to let him know that God, my mama and my dad, they didn't raise me like this, but this is something that I took. But at that time, I still didn't get right in the church right then and there. But later, as time went on, I got married back in 1995. And when I got married in 95, and all my life began to change dramatically. And as my life began to change dramatically, my wife and I and the children, we took places into the church. We went there to worship and to serve the Lord. And out of it all, after being a deacon for about 2 years or 3 years, and then the Lord called me to preach. And today I go out and I preach at the church and all, but as I preach at the church, every so often I'll still tell my conversion. I'll still let people know that I hadn't been the way that I was or that I am now always. because sometimes, you know, when we meet up with lost people, they think that we've been saved all our lives. But I hadn't been saved all my life. Before I got saved, I was radical. I even fired a firearm one time, and it hit somebody, and I was just blessed enough that it was an accident that I didn't go to jail for a period of time. But, you know, but when we don't have God in our lives, we do a lot of foolish things. We do a lot of crazy things. Amen. You know, I continue to drink, and I continue to drug. And after continuing to drink, 5 drunk driving tickets in my lifetime. And after my 5th DUI, then I said the normal people weren't doing what I was doing. And I didn't sober up right away, but in 1996 on New Year's Eve, I was sitting in the back of the church, and the Lord stopped by and took the taste away from me. I got on antabuse, but antabuse wouldn't stop me from drinking. I would get on the antabuse. I would use it for a certain period of time during the week, but after using it for a certain period of time of the week, When it would get around Wednesday or Thursday, I would stop using it so that I could drink on weekends. I loved that alcohol, but alcohol didn't love me. I loved it doing wrong things, but wrong things weren't going to get me in the dough to heaven. And so as the Lord took the taste away from me, and then I kept on going, and like I said, you know, I gave my life to Christ for the second time, and then I just started doing things in the house of the Lord. You know, I even used to sing on a choir, and I used to help my pastor every so often whenever he needed help and everything, and I would talk to him about ministry, and he took me by the hand, and he began to teach me about God and God's word. Amen. And after learning God's word, I found that there was no greater life to live than to be able to live for the Lord. And after living for the Lord, I've been in the ministry now, I believe, for a little over 20 years. I started preaching in 2000. And every day is a good day, no matter what it brings. My mom, she died, and my dad died, and I didn't have to go back. I didn't turn back. I didn't go back to the devil and the devil is staying. I didn't go back to alcohol and drugs. And a while after that, then, you know, my baby sister died. And when my baby sister died, I still didn't have to return back to alcohol and drugs. I stayed with the Lord. And just this year, last couple of years or so, my brother that's believed me, he passed away. Him and I, we run the business called Jones Painting Service, and we worked together for a little over 30 years. And then he passed away on me, but I didn't have to go back in the world. I didn't have to go back drinking. I didn't have to go back drugging. See, I found out that when the Lord does something in your life, it's very, very impossible to go back and turn your back on what God has already done. Not only that, but about a year ago, my baby brother died. And when my baby brother died, one that I communicated with, I seen him on a Thursday, he died on a Friday. And as he died, I didn't have to turn back to the world. I didn't turn back to alcohol. I didn't have to turn back to drugs. I didn't have to go back my old ways, but I continued the ways of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And I tell you, every day is a good day now, no matter what it brings. I learned how to lean and I learned how to depend on God. You know, if you call on God, God will stop by and he'll help you if you're sincere. See, sometimes we try to pimp God. Sometimes we try to act as if that God don't see us, as if that God don't know what we are doing. But we serve a God that is all knowing and all seeing. He knows everything. He knows just where we're at and just what we're doing, even right now. And so I found out that as long as you stay with the Lord, not every day is going to be a peaceful day. Not every day is going to be a joyful day. But with the help of the Lord, we can make it through any day and through any problem. God is able to bring us through. I normally tell people that if God could clean me up, he could clean up anybody. And if you're out there on this line this afternoon and you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I challenge you to accept him. Let him in. And I guarantee you that your life will never be the same. I'm so glad this evening to have Jesus in my life. I shared with the church on yesterday how he saved me. He saved me from a pit of hell because I was on my way to hell. And I encourage you this evening that if that fits you, then you want to get out and you want to accept Christ. Sometimes people think to accept Christ is a very hard job, but it's not. I found out in my conversion, all I had to do was confess Christ and believe. Confess with my mouth that I believe that Christ died and that he rose again on the third day morning. And then I began to ask God, I repented of my sins. And as I repented of my sins, then my whole world began to change. I tell you, when you get Christ in your life, you can turn the world upside down, because one thing about it, the information and the way you'll go, it'll be a good way. It'll be a loving way, a kind way. I learned how to love folk even when they talked about me and put me down, would say all manners of evil about me. But I learned then that I didn't have to retaliate back anymore. I learned that if somebody hit at me, I didn't have to jump right up and hit them back and things of that nature. But I learned how to talk to people. See, because when we are out in the world and we're doing all kinds of worldly things, we don't know how to talk to people. You know, we spend a lot of time as a hellraiser cussing and carrying on, calling all kinds of bad names and things of that nature, recognizing our sisters and brothers as with bad names, calling them outside of their names and things of that nature. But I found out with Christ, all things are possible. And he can change in a matter of a twinkling of an eye. Christ can change our dispositions. He can change our ways and our mind. Because, see, a mind is a terrible thing if we don't exercise it properly. You know, we operate under two voices. That's the voice of God and the voice of Satan. And we got to know who's talking to us. But if we don't study the Bible, then we won't know who talking to us. See, because once we come to learn Christ, and to learn Christ, you have to study to get to know him. You see, he's in the book, the volume of the book. And as we read it, as we study it from day to day, we find each day that we find something new about this Jesus that we serve. Amen. And as we find new things about him, then we can teach new things. As we find new things about him, he can use us in new ways. Amen. That men, women, and boys and girls will stop and listen. You know, we have a lot going on in the streets today. We have a lot of violence in the street today with young people, people under the age of 17 or 18. And all they do is spend their time running around committing crime. Amen. Killing their young sisters and their young brothers and things of that nature over very small things. But because of lack of knowledge and lack of understanding, they'll continue in these things, doing such things as that. But I stopped today to tell you my conversion and to encourage you to seek the Lord. Let him into your life. And I guarantee you, you'll never be the same. Not only did that happen to me in life, but I've been in some accidents in life, you know, and God, he was standing there. He saved my life, and I didn't even know God, but he was standing there. Now that I know God and I recognize these things today, that he was always there, just as he said, he'll never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. But he's always there to lead us and to guide us if we would just call on his name and ask for guidance. Today I ask the Lord to direct my path. Help me not to stray to the left, but help keep me to the right, to stay on that right road with Christ. Not only did that happen to me, but today I'm at double amputee, and while I was in the hospital, the devil thought that he had me, and as he thought that he had me, as he took my leg off, he thought that I would turn my back on the Lord. But I didn't turn my back on the Lord. I draw it closer to the Lord. And as I'm drawing closer to the Lord, I begin to talk to the officials there at the hospital. And I begin to ask them how could I do ministry there at the hospital. See, Satan, he will always want to turn us around. He wants to turn us away from God. He wants us to worship him and not worship God. But there at the hospital, they opened up the dining room to me that I could go in there and I could preach and teach. Teach there on Wednesday night and preach there on Sunday morning. I mean, you know, I had a joyful time there. It would look like that I would have been concentrating more on my the taking off of my leg than I would concentrate on preaching and teaching, but I couldn't help but to preach and teach because that's all that I knew. And I know that with this leg, I know the Lord, he was already taking care of that problem. But in there preaching and teaching, men got saved while being there at the hospital. You know, they changed their minds, many did. And many accepted Christ and went to their home, to their own individual churches, and got it with the Lord. Every so often I'll hear from one. Not only did the Lord use me in that matter, but, you know, the Lord used me in mighty ways. He sent me to the prison, Haynesville Correctional Center. And as I went there preaching and teaching. And I often shared my conversion there. I often let them know that I hadn't been the way that I am always. I began to share with them how my life was and what I used to do in life and how I used to act in life. And today, every so often, I'll meet somebody that came out of Haynesville, and they will share with me how I helped them, how I helped them to make changes in their lives, to have a desire to get closer to the Lord. You know, without God in our lives, I tell you, we're just a tingling sound without God in our lives. Amen. See, the Bible says we don't know the time nor the hour that our Savior will call out our name. See, every one of us, we have names, and every one of us, we got a ticket. You see, I tell people that the train is headed my way, and I got my ticket in my hand, but it just hasn't gotten to my stop yet. Amen. And it's the same way with you. If you're on this line and you're lost and don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, amen, you want to get to know him. And it's a very easy job. I found in Romans 10 and 9, it's a good place to start reading in the Bible. And not only that, but I also found that sometimes preachers and sometimes witness, as they witness to a lost soul, sometimes they make it sound as if that it's so hard to be saved, but it's not, because the Bible says whosoever call upon the Lord shall be saved. So I just stopped today to tell you about my conversion and encourage you that if you're unsaved and on the outside of the safety of God, then you want to plunge in. You want to get him into your life and let him in your heart and let him start to direct your path from day to day and to turn that evil spirit into the Holy Ghost spirit. Amen. You know, evil spirits are always present, and they're present on every side. But when we get to know the Lord, then we'll know what's evil. We'll begin to know what's good and what's bad. We'll begin to know what's right and what's wrong. You know, because sometimes without having the Lord in your life, you don't know what's right. You don't know what's wrong. And a lot of times we think what we're doing is the right thing to do. But I start to share with you today, you want to come out of it. You want to get God in your life and let him have his way. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I started to take that same mentality, and I would carry it to the nursing home, and I would teach there and preach there, and I would compel people to come to Christ. Amen. Amen. And see, once you're saved, then you have another deity to the Lord, and your deity to the Lord then is to go out and be a good witness for the Lord. But you can't be a witness for the Lord and you're out there doing the same thing that you're trying to witness to other people about what not to do and to let God into their lives. You see, in order for us to have God into our lives, we got to walk like God. We got to talk like God. We got to love like Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, and we got to pray. But we can't pray effectively until we first come to learn the word of God, because God only acts to his word. But after you get saved, there's plenty of time to learn. It's a lifetime of learning about who this God is that we serve, who this Jesus is that died for us, that we would have the right to the right of the tree of life, that we'll be able to bow down on our knees and cry at Abba Father. You know, we have to learn and study hard, and we have to ask questions. People that have a little more knowledge than what we had, we have to always share our knowledge. Sharing important knowledge is very important to the Christian, and it's very important for the Christian to part knowledge with the unsaved. But we have to know more to tell the unsaved besides that God is good. We have to challenge them to come and plunge in and let God be their Lord and let him be their Savior. Amen. I'm glad this afternoon to be able to share with you and to let you know that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And he watches over me. He guides me. He directs me. Amen. Amen. My children, all my children are saved. My grandchildren, we're working on them. The ones that, as they come of age, we're working on them, getting them in the church, baptizing. Amen. See, and when parents see their children, it's all out of their minds and things of that nature, and then acting like they are heathens and things of that nature, is because they need to educate them in the Lord. They need to talk to them about changing their ways of living and talk to them about how to get in and give God their life. You see, once you give your life to Jesus Christ, once saved, you're always saved. But there is such thing as that we can be backsliders, because sometimes we backslide. And backsliding means that you had worked on the foundation, or you had built on the foundation, or you had accepted Christ, but for some reason you went back out into the world. And as we go back out in the world, how many know that it's worse the second time than it was the first time? We got to learn this Christ for ourselves, and we got to learn how to love like Christ. And as we learn how to love and walk like Christ, life will be so much more easier. When things go on, we'll know who to call on. See, a lot of times things go on in our lives and we don't know who to call on. Amen. That's why we get depressed. That's why we get stressed. That's why we find folks that's out there wanting to take their own lives and things of that nature. It's because they don't know who to call on. They don't know who they can go and lean on. They don't know who to depend on. Amen. But I found out that if you accept Christ, his ears is always open to your cry. Amen. Amen. Even the cries of the sinner, man, woman, boy, girl, his ears is always open. Amen. And his hand is always extended, saying, come, my son. Come, my daughter. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. See, because when we're running with the devil, we need rest, because the devil will wear you out. And sometimes he'll kick you out. So I just stopped this day to encourage you from my conversion to take hold of it. Let the Lord into your life. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And as you accept him, stay with him. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Stay tuned now for the fivefold ministry that will come. Amen. And share even further. God bless you. May heaven continue to smile upon you.
Amen. Pastor Jones, before you hang up, will you give us a salvation prayer of the invitation of salvation before you leave out, sir?
Yes. Is there one on this line this afternoon that don't know Jesus Christ? If you don't know Jesus Christ, you can get to know Jesus this afternoon. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, and it starts at verse 9. I like to use verse 9 because verse 9 is a good starting spot. It says that if thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, that thou shalt be saved. Amen. And then he goes on to say that if you don't confess it and don't believe it, he says that you're damned already. So let's not be damned, but let us come to the knowledge and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Will there be just one this afternoon that will utter up from his voice and say, here am I, and ask God to come into your heart and save you? Will that be just one man, one woman, boy or girl, amen, that will accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will there be one this afternoon?
Yes, we have so many on the phone. I'm sure there is one. Can you give us the prayer, please?
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, as you've been with us on this telecast, O Lord, and as I begin to share with them about how you saved me, O Lord, Lord, now I'm asking you to enter into their hearts. Because you said, O Lord, in St. John 6:44, you said, except you first draw a man, will he be able to come? So we're praying this morning, this afternoon, O Lord, in your son Jesus Christ's name, that you would touch them this afternoon that are unsaved. And draw them in, O Lord, that they might fall on bending knees and accept Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. Lord, as you do these things for us, we'll be so careful. Give your name the glory, honor, and all of the praise. It's in the blessed name of Jesus that we ask these petitions. And our soul says amen and amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Reverend Jones, for coming on the phone tonight. Again, you have been listening to Jeremiah Speaks. It comes on every day, Monday through Fridays, from 7 o'clock p.m. to 7:30 p.m. We ask you to join in with us. And again, it is on at 8:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Again, you've been listening to Jeremiah Speak with Pastor Jones. Thank you so much, sir. Have a nice evening. You can hang up. Thank you.
Thank you, too, and you'll be blessed with a good week.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. God bless you again and again as we look back over our life. Truly, we have a testimony. Let us enjoy a little bit more. Again, you've been listening to Jeremiah Speaks. That's Monday through Fridays from 7 o'clock p.m. to 7:30. God bless you. Again, we thank Jeremiah Speaks and Reverend Reed for all the speakers that he bring in with us each week, as well as himself. Truly, we are blessed to have the very men and women of God. Again, we just want to welcome you in to our show. You are now listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. This is our segment now. And we would like to play a sermon that was played on Sunday. Again, you will hear just a little bit of a sermon that was played on Sunday. And the title is Walking on the Sea of Galilee. In other words, can you walk in deep waters? God bless you. And let us listen to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. Amen. So my title today of the message is Walking on the Sea of Galilee. Again, it's going to be Walking on the Sea of Galilee, looking at Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 31. That as a believer, and I'll ask you this question, as a believer, are you ready to walk on the Sea of Galilee? Because when you get to a point in your life that God, for you I live, for you I die, that you turn it all over to him to know that he can do anything but fail. You know, our story starts out that Jesus heard the sad news that John the Baptist had died in his ministry, healing people, feeding people. But this news came to him at a time when he was in the midst of being about his father's business. You know, a lot of people look at the servants of God, the leaders of God, the pastors of God, the ministers of God, and they put them on such a status quo that sometimes they forget that they're human, that, yes, they cry, they have setbacks. Sometimes they get disappointed, they get fearful, and that there's only one perfect man on this earth, one perfect person, and that is Jesus, the Christ himself, our Lord and Savior. You know, so there are times in our life that even through the storms of life that we have to go forward, that we have to press our way, we have to be about our Father's business. If we lose a job, we still got to preach the gospel. If we can't eat, we have to preach the gospel. You know, we hear about death in the family, we have to be about our Father's business and preach the gospel because we have a commission, a mandate to serve God. Like the disciples, by any means necessary, the job got to be done. And here Jesus, you know, he had just heard the sad news of someone that recognized him in his ministry, someone that gave him a good report, someone that was humble and believed in the work that God had sent him to do. That was John the Baptist. You know, so many times as leaders that it means a lot when you get a hug or you get a word of encouragement or you can have someone to believe in that God has sent you or is using you to be about a good work. And with John, it was a special relationship with him and Jesus that during his early part of his ministry, that he came to sit with John, and there on the banks of the waters, he was right there, even with his first miracle, and God spoke and said, "This is my beloved son." You know, John was close enough to him that he recognized God. Ooh, hallelujah. That even here in the news, it says that even Jesus wept when he heard the death about Lazarus. It says that even Jesus heard the death about John the Baptist. He felt those human emotions. He felt that voice as a human being. You know, when we hear about someone die, like mom or grandma or good friend, that, you know, there's a void. However,
that he had to be too about his father's business. Can you imagine that here you have the weight of the world that's on you, and you're going about being on this commission from God the Father, and that you have chosen to follow God, and you are his son. That big responsibility that as a disciple, as that even with clergy today, as a pastor, people don't know behind the closed doors the troubles that they feel, the pain that they feel, the tears that they shed. But the love of God, hey, hallelujah, that pushes them to their destiny, their purpose, their calling God. Jesus was the same way. When he heard the sad news, the people was gathered around him. They didn't want to see the tears. Some of them was hungry. They didn't want to know that he was sad. You know, they needed healing. There were so many people, a multitude of people around them. Guess what he did? He didn't stop to cry. He didn't stop to ball up in a knot. Hey, hallelujah. He didn't just say, look, I don't have time right now. I'm going through my own issues with my own problems. I don't have time for you. No, he was about his father's business. He kept a good faith and kept a good work of doing what he was commissioned to do by God the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus, after he did the things that he was commissioned to do, to give people hope, to even give them bread, that he sent the people away as he went to the mountaintop, as he finished what he needed to do. And there I'm sure that he was reflecting on a man who had shown him love, compassion, and respect. You know, it's a very, and I can speak from experience, it's a very few that a lot of people say that they recognize the call on your life and they cheer with you, but a lot of times behind your back, they don't believe even that God called you because you're different or you odd or you may go in different directions. You don't fit the mold. Jesus didn't fit the mold. He didn't come in like they thought the priestly scribe should come in. He wasn't in the marketplace yelling out a prayer to be seen. He wasn't in an edifice and sitting behind a podium. He was out on the road getting his feet dirty. As we say, getting his hand dirty. He was about evangelism and ministry. There's nothing wrong with that if that's what God is giving you to do, to be in a place of worship, but be there with the right intention that is God's house, it's not yours. Be about the charge that he has given you to govern his sheep. And Jesus, as he walked that road, as he was alone in that mountaintop, that the disciples wanted to follow him. That's one thing about a leader, no matter how much you try to retire, to get away to a quiet place, to mind your own business, there's someone that's going to knock at the door. There's someone that's going to call. Someone that's going to tug at you. Because they see the God that's in you. They feel the anointing that's on your life. And they want to be a part and to be more of it. Hey, hallelujah. And the disciples was on that boat and they followed Jesus. He couldn't even moan. He couldn't groan. He couldn't have a time of sorrow to himself. He just heard the news. He just fed 5,000. He just healed those that was afflicted and sick. And he just wanted a little time. How many times did you just want to get away? Shut your door. Put the covers over your head. Go down in the basement. Go to a quiet place. Go out in the woods in the forest somewhere. Go by the lake or the water. Take a ride. And just exhale. And just breathe. Because sometimes you're tired. You know, I'm picking up different ones now. I can feel you on the phone. That sometimes you've been exhausted. You've been tired. The cares of this world, of family, of your mom, dad, your job, the political office that you hold, the responsibility of being a teacher, just being a head of a particular, even a corporation, that there are those that depend on you to keep it together. Lord, have mercy. And you get tired. You get worn out. There are times that you want to get burnt out, but you can't. You got mouths to feed. You have responsibility, even to yourself. Sure, you may not be married or have kids, but you still have to eat and work by the sweat of your brow to take care of yourself, to have a roof over your head. You can't live forever, you know, not being able to be a supplier of yourself. You have to love yourself, hug yourself, get up and tell yourself. You got to push on. Jesus was the same way. He had to go and be about his Father's business. Maybe that should have been a title, be about your Father's business. And doing so, as I said before, he didn't have that hiding place, that secret place where he could just breathe every time. Even when he had 40 days in the wilderness, here comes Satan trying to tempt him and uproot the focus that he had on doing the work for God. Good God Almighty. He's just gone up to a mountaintop just to take a little breath. And here come the disciples howling out from the boat, "Jesus, wait for me. I'm coming, Jesus. Don't leave me." So many people pull at you, especially moms. The children pull at you. The husband pull at you. The husband, the wife pull at you. The boss pull at you. Everybody be pulling at you. Good God Almighty. But the strength and the character and the love of God. He made his way, the mercy seat, the compassion of a good father. He went to the disciples to see, what is the problem? What's going on? Why do you need me? Have you not traveled with me? Did you not eat with me? Did you not sup with me? Have you not walked the road with me? Didn't you give up everything to follow me? What do you want now? Have I not shown you a better way? Have I not giving you the word and showing you miracle signs and wonders? Have I not showed you the victory in prayer? Have I not healed your body and other bodies? Have I not did the miraculous? Crack open the sky, woke you up in your right mind, and now I'm giving the word to come out on radio and TV and the internet. How much do you need to know that God got you? He's with you. He loves you. You is beloved. That's my way of saying it. But, say it again, with all of that, all of those examples, all of those illustrations, demonstrations that God is, he walked over to the boat on the water. And there was one, Peter, was crying out, asking God, "Can I come with you?" You know, it's, when I read that story, it was kind of funny. He was asking Jesus, could he come off the boat and come and walk on the sea to be with Jesus? But yet he had a condition. Isn't it ironic sometimes? God, I follow you, but, you know, I got to get some things together first. You know, God, I would go to church, but, you know, I got to get myself together, get some better clothes. God, you know, I'm going to put this down or put that down. Just give me a little more time. It's always a condition. You know, what is the stumbling block that would keep us from going all the way with God? In this situation, Peter asked, he was the one that said, "God, use me. God, make me the pastor. God, make me the leader." It's a God, I'll preach the gospel. God, send me around the world. You know, God, give me an edifice. He wanted all these things, I'm sure. And when he had his opportunities, that Jesus said, "Okay, you ready for this? All right, then get off the boat." And he said, and I'm saying it in my way so that you can understand it a little bit better, that Peter decided that he was going to walk on the sea with Jesus. And in doing so, he looked around. He said, "Oh, my God. Look at the wind. Look at the waves of the ocean." So many times we want to do things until we actually do it. And we want to be a pastor, but then we get overwhelmed with the sheep. You know, we want to go around the world, but we get scared of being on a plane. I can speak for myself. You know, we want to be in leadership. But can we really handle responsibility with those sleepless nights? we want to be in so many charge of committees and all, but do we really want the headaches? It costs you something. It costs you not only to keep your eyes focused on God, but also to show you your character. Do you have that tenacity? Do you have the strength? Can you be encouraged when the wind blows? When, as people say, when your money start looking funny, when look like all hell is breaking loose, when death angels is all around you, when your body gets sick and ache with pain, can you still follow God? Good God Almighty. Jesus told Peter, come on. You want to come with me? Come on then. Just go ahead, get off the boat. And as I said earlier, it's always a condition. You know, Peter asked to come out the boat so he could follow God. But it was funny when you looked at this right here in the scripture. It says that he asked Jesus the question to come off the boat. Let me see here. It says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, verse 30, he was afraid, and he was beginning to sink, and he cried out to God. But it's funny, though, that before that time, he asked Jesus, is that you, God? How can you want to follow something, but then you're not sure if it's God? How can you say God told you to preach, but then you doubt yourself? Was that really his voice? How can you say that God told you to build a church, and then you get halfway around the road? I wonder, is this what God really want me to do? How can you say that you want to be about your father's business, but then when the road get rocky, you back? You get fearful. You put doubt in it. You question yourself. And like Peter, sometimes you even question your own self. You become double-minded, and you don't have your eyes focused like it should be. You know, you put all those barriers in your way. I'm thinking about this thing because I could imagine Peter loved Jesus, and he wanted to follow him, and God gave him the opportunity. But when it got rough, got a little rocky, it didn't fit the norm. How many times did people say, oh, that's a religious fanatic? How many times you had to give up some things that you didn't want to give up because you had to follow God, or stop some things that you didn't want to stop because you had to be about your father's business? Peter, he got fearful when he realized that he asked God to take him out on the deep. Hey, hallelujah. But when he went out on the deep, he couldn't handle what he asked God for. We ask God all the time for a lot of stuff. Give me that husband, and it may not work out right. Give me that wife. It don't work out right. There are some conditions before all of that happens. Peter had an opportunity to walk with God, to talk with God, to get to know God, to know his word. But he still had that doubt inside of him. You have a chance to be in certain situations, but you have to study, do your research, have a made-up mind, be determined. You know, I was listening to my apostle and pastor, Apostle Anthony T. Mays. He said, let this mind be in you that's in Christ. You have to have a made-up mind that, okay, for God I live, for God I die, that you got to go all the way regardless what time that the trouble could come at you. If you say you want to be married, then you have to work towards those things that will make that marriage work. You say you want to be a husband, then you have to be a responsible head to your family and show leadership. You want to be a wife, then you need to know how to raise your kids and help take care of your husband and be a helpmeet. If you want to be a servant of God, then you have to be able to sacrifice, go all the way. There are times you may not eat. There are times you may not have money. There are times you may not be able to do certain things, but your servant is the most important thing, how you serve God's people. And the commission that he has given you is what's important. That's the measuring stick right there. You know, God knows the heart of Peter. He saw him that he was troubled even before he got out the boat. God knows what you're going through. He knows the doubt that you have. This is why he walked with us and talked with us and showed us that he knows how to feel as a human being. He knows we're going to sway sometime, go to the left, go to the right. But he believed in us so much that he gave us the opportunity and said, look, I'm going to call you to the ministry. I'm going to call you to fivefold. Ephesians 4:11-17, if you want to know what it is. I'm going to call you to be that pastor. I'm going to call you to be that leader. I'm going to call you to be that teacher, or I'm going to call you to be that mother, that father. You have a responsibility, but I believe in you that you're able to do this thing. You're able to walk on the Sea of Galilee, meaning you're able to walk by faith. Yes, you're going to cry out sometimes. Yes, you're going to feel fearful sometimes. Yes, you are going to be afraid sometimes. But you have to believe. Peter had nerve enough in we're looking at chapter 14, verses 28. And it says here in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. How can you call out and tell God you want to do something, but then you turn around and question, if it's you, Lord, give me a sign. If it's what you want me to do, let me know that I know that I know. Why you ask for it in the beginning if you're not going to believe it by faith? Hey, hallelujah. You got to be able to walk on the water. You just say, God, here am I. You know, many a times that people ask me, why do I do some of the ministry things that I do? Because I go by faith. I say, well, God, if this is what you want, I'm like you. I say, God, I'm going to go by faith. I just open up my heart and my spirit. I'm not perfect. I doubt, too. Sometimes I wonder. But I put all that behind me, put my little tail between my legs, and I said, hold my head down real humble. I said, God, you make a way, I'm going. And I trust God, you know. It is hard, especially when you have a ministry that it takes you around the world. You got to be in a plane 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. But you have to be about your Father's business. If you want to do a work for God, then you have to do the work. You say this is what you want to do, you're going to get laughed at like Jesus. You're going to get criticized like Jesus. You're going to get ridiculed like Jesus. They're going to call you crazy, call you a false prophet, call that you're not even a son of daughter of God. They're going to do all of that. They did it to Jesus. He was trying to show you this is the road that you choose. You want to walk on the water, you want to walk on the Sea of Galilee, then here it is. Expect this right here. Peter said, if it be you, God bid me to come. He is asking you to come. He asked all of us to come. Come into a plan of salvation, of repentance. This is what he asking us to do. Come out to the deep. Hey, hallelujah. You have to come out on faith. And then you can really receive the blessings, the directions, and the miracle signs and wonders of God will follow them that believe. You can't have no doubt. You know, I was watching Apostle yesterday. I was at a church service yesterday. And he believed it so that he just told a lady, get up. He told a limb, just grow. And it grew. I just got back from Jamaica. And a shout out to Apostle Mears. That here's a man that was drinking water. A lady came in crippled. He was drinking water. He blessed the water and threw it on and said, get up and walk. And she ran around the church. You have to have that kind of faith. You can't have doubt in it. God said it, you got to believe it, you got to trust it at his word. See, a lot of times people get hung up in denomination, hung up in tradition. Well, it's done this way. Well, it's said this way. I deliberately played that song a couple of times because I want you to hear the different version. There was rap. I knew it was rap, but it was Christian rap. There was different lyrics. Of a jazz type of persuasion. It was Christian gospel, and it was contemporary. You got to get to the point of not being so judgmental that you just have to say, God, here am I. Can't have no doubt in it, no fear in it. You have to be open to the move of God. When you are open, you can walk on that water. When you are open, you can walk out on faith. When you are open, you're able to sup with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will come in and overshadow you, and you won't sink in the deep of doubt. You look at this thing, and it says here that you can't be of little faith. It says in verse 31, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou? thou doubt? Wherefore did you doubt God? Did not he said he come to fulfill? He came to fulfill what God commissioned him to do. He did his job. He came to this earth. He showed us a better way. He left a blueprint for living. We have the commandments. We have the Bible. We have technology. We have everything that we need to have eternal life. So he's saying to us, are we going to walk out now in faith? Can we walk on the waters of Galilee? Can we trust him at his word? So we don't think. A lot of times we think because we put our own mindset in it. A lot of times we don't keep our eyes focused on God. I want to stop right here because sometimes I get caught up when I talk about the Father and Jesus. I can just go on and on and on about even with the Holy Spirit. I love the Lord. But, you know, I was reading another story. It was talking about talents, you know, where God in Matthew 25, he was talking about the talents that God gives you. That in this particular text, what they were talking about, you have to multiply what was given to you. That gave you a voice to sing, then you give it your best from your heart and you sing, you know, like a bird, you know, sing like an angel. You know, this is why you see so many talented people, that they put their whole heart, soul, their passion into it. Peter lost sight of the very person, the man that has been with him the whole time. We can't lose sight of God as Christians. We can't lose sight of our commission. We got to get out on a boat and move by faith. We can't let our emotion control us to the point we put doubt in it. You know, I remember one time when I started out in ministry, they would say, you don't have a ministry, you by yourself. God had to remind me, there's people in the Bible that walk by themselves, including Paul, and then Elisha and those that wanted to follow them. Even Moses was laughed at and criticized, including Noah. That God will use you to do the work that he has sent you to do, and then he can add on followers. But first he got to deal with you. You got to be sure that your eyes is focused, that you're able to do the impossible by the faith and the grace of God. Ooh, hallelujah. So I'm going to stop right here because I just want to say to you that it's working for you. When you believe, and don't let your unbelief depart from you. You know, disbelief depart from you. You know, when you look at Hebrews 3:12, when you love the Lord, you can't be, you know, dealing with disbelief. I'm taking my time today because I'm slowing down. I know sometimes that other nations are listening and there's interpreter who have to translate what I'm saying. But I want to say to the nations around this world that God is able, that he is the Alpha and Omega, that he is the beginning and end. He can do it. Cannot take your eyes. It's like a track runner off the prize. You got to take that baton and race down that field and just believe it, that you can make it to the winning line. You trust God. You trust him at his word. You trust him at his promises. And even look at Jeremiah 29:11, when he says that in so many words, he knows that he has a plan for you, a plan to give you peace and hope. You just got to believe him at his word. He can do anything but fail. You just got to trust him. So I'm going to play this song right now because I use music as a part of the ministry to glorify God. And I get carried away sometimes. I have to slow down. But I just want to tell you that today is your breakthrough. Today is your miracle. Today you can get out of the boat and walk on the Sea of Galilee when you love the Lord and you trust him. And there is no doubt. We all go through it. We just human beings. But we're made in the image of God. And he breathed breath into our body. We can call on our Father. We can call on our Papa. Our dad, our father, Elohim, Alpha and Omega, Jehovah. We could call on the great God himself, I am that I am. He sent his son so that we could have eternal life. He sent his Holy Spirit to give us comfort. Good God Almighty. Can you imagine the spirit that moved over the earth, that made heaven and earth? Hey, the spirit that divided the waters. Good God Almighty. The spirit in the cool of the day that walk with God. That same spirit is dwelling with us and inside of us, that we have the grace, the mercy, and the favor of God, that we are his beloved. We are the children of God. He's your dad. You just got to stretch out your hand and believe it. Get off the boat and say, God, I'm going to walk with you, talk with you, trust you at your word. You know why? Because it's your season. Matter of fact, I want to hear that song, It's Your Season. I told you I get carried away when I talk about the Lord, and I always say I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. But let us listen to William Murphy, It's Working. Amen. And God bless you.
God bless you again. You've been listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and we would like to encourage you to listen to us each week, Monday through Fridays from 7 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. and again on Sundays from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. God bless you. Have a nice evening.